What's your name?
My name is Kevin Barnett. I work for Toy Machine Skateboards. I'm the video guy. I don't really have a title. I think it's just video person, filmer.
What brought you to Toy Machine?
The whole story?
Sure.
Okay. Skateboarder as a kid, of course. Worked at a skateboard shop, made a video for them, moved to California to do it for a living. Get a job at 411 Video Productions. Worked there for a year, work at On Video for a year. And through working at those two venues, met a lot of the Toy Machine writers, met Ed, and they needed a filmer, they needed someone to do their one of their videos, and my name came up, they asked me, I said yes, and that's it, pretty much. I've been there for 8 years, I've done five things for them, I think, five videos. Tour videos, little stuff, and then like three main releases.
How long did you work on Brainwash?
Brainwash was about 2 years. I think there's footage in there from like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And that was sort of how, that was sort of the impetus for the video, is to clear out, I just saw a format change coming and I thought, well, we gotta do something with all this DV footage, normal standard definition video footage. It started off as just a promo video. And then we just got more writers. Leo got on, and Colin, and Daniel Lutheran, and Jordan Taylor. And then everyone kind of got excited. And then before I knew it, I had full parts from people. And it kind of exploded into something more than that, but not quite a full length. I never really wanted to focus on a full length where every guy has a part and everyone's breaking their back and taking lashes for 4 years to come out with the video. The market and the way we make videos is really turning with that format change. And so I was hesitant to kind of lock down into the typical, or what has been typical, formula of 4 year program. Everyone hates their lives by the end of it and hates skating, and I hate making videos. And it just, I saw that happening with other videos. Great videos. They made great videos from that kind of toil, but it also seemed like it wasn't much fun, and it didn't sound like fun to me. I don't know, that's a long-winded answer for a very simple question.
That's cool. We can edit.
Okay, good.
It reminded me a little bit of like an early 90s video where it was just kind of like, okay, we got what we got, let's go ahead and put this out when we pretty much said we were going to put it out. Is that...
That's totally what I was thinking. I don't even know if I had verbalized this to anyone, but it really was in my head, just get what we get. And no, I don't want any trick lists. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to fucking fly to Paris to skate a hubba or whatever. You know, it's really gone to these crazy levels, which at first was really, really cool and really novel and made the videos really interesting. But then when you have everyone like, well, we got to go to that international destination. It seemed like, do you? You know, do you have to go to that? And I just looked at videos like Falling Down and Tim and Henry's Pack of Lies. And you know, I'm not putting us up there with this, but the Blind video has this kind of like very casual, just happen to get it quality that Ed's always said he really likes and wanted that. And so I think that was the attempt to kind of capture that, to kind of just like say, fuck the trick lists, and who cares about that new China spot plaza? You know, Cherry Park's right there, and like there's this bump I know up the street, which is, you know, it's more relatable to me. You know, I'm in skating and I'm losing touch with what skating was, because I wasn't flying to China when I was 14 years old. I was just skating in my driveway, and it's just as cool. Those kind of like just get what you get and put it out videos were really something that I, you know, I was trying to draw from and kind of use as a template for, and put it into a modern context. You know, we didn't want the skating to not be awesome, and hopefully it is. But yeah, I wanted it to be very fleet and very economical. And I should also mention the Dan Wolf videos. Dan Wolf's videos always kind of just didn't ever really stop. They just bled all over, and you just wanted to skate after it. It was 30 minutes, and you're done, and you just want to go skate. probably my favorite video ever is Eastern Exposure Zero, which is just a footage tape. There's no music. It's just footage of skating, and you're like, it's over, and you're like, fuck, yeah, let's go.
When you guys were thinking about making a video, what's the thought process as far as putting it out on DVD or trying to do it on the internet? You know, it's sort of an interesting time, like you said.
It's real frontier out there. You know, I just feel like you don't know what's happening in 6 months, literally. You know, something really good could come out for free on Vimeo, and then you're like, well, now we look stupid. You know, we're trying to sell this shit. I think that was also part of the promo video tag to it. If we're selling it, we want it to be cheap. I knew we needed a downloadable version or an internet version, and so we went to the iTunes route, which the American video is real successful with, and I think that Girl has worked with them for a really long time. And I don't personally buy videos on iTunes. I still buy DVDs because I'm a nerd. I think there was brief talk about not doing a DVD at all, and I squashed that right away. It just, you're gonna sell less, but it's also, you're selling to a specialty market of pure nerd. You know, no matter how cool you are, when you're a skater, you're a nerd and you're obsessed about it. You're gonna get at least a certain amount of people that desire that and kind of want that and are happy that the option exists. I think that it's gonna be that way for a while, until it just gets, everything's universally downloadable. I think it'll kind of be that way.
Sell-through wise, do you know what the, you know, how it's been between DVD and download?
It's been about equal. In iTunes, they have it as one word, so if you search for it, it doesn't come up as much. I don't know if that hurt us or whatever. So weird search engine stuff like that we've never had to deal with issues came up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that affected it. Who knows? Whatever you choose to go through, there's gonna be a certain amount of frustration that you deal with. I mean, to me, I'm a quality nerd, so I really like to see it on a screen and as high quality as I can get, and I love bonus feature stuff.
With the crossover between SD and HD, what was your plan with this thing?
Well, the plan was to keep mostly the skating, the actual, like, tricks, as they're called, SD, because we already had a certain amount that we were working from to make that stuff. And so to kind of change formats right in the middle and say, well, now that's gone and we can't use that. It's not that there's not HD clips in the SD, but I tried to minimize it as much as I possibly could because I really like cohesion in a video. And I think that goes down to the format and it goes down to even the camera you use, even when it is SD. Like, it always bothered me when you mix daytime VX2000 with daytime VX1000, and that's really nerdy, I know, but I feel like it makes a difference. Even if people aren't noting like, well, that, you know, that made a difference and that's good, I think that you process it somewhere unconsciously and it does. It adds to like overall look and feel of the video. It was also an economic issue. You know, we're not a big company, so we couldn't really re-up on just all this new HD stuff, which is expensive, especially 2 years ago it was expensive. And so we just kept going with what we had. I realized that HD was coming and, you know, videos were using it, so I kind of wanted to stay relevant and use HD somehow, but I wanted to use it with purpose, not just because whatever, it's the camera you had to sign up for now that you're a skate filmer. Previously, I'd always mixed formats. Before this, I'd always shot Super 8 or film of some kind and incorporated it into the video in some way, kind of to weave the video together, usually. And so I wanted to kind of use HD as that sort of placeholder because I just saw that there was a lot of potential with the HD cameras. You could attach new lenses. You had more than just the death lens click on and the built-in zoom to the VX1000. You had now this kind of 35 millimeter capability. You could shoot like you were shooting a movie or shooting, you know, kind of sophisticated 16. That was really interesting and appealing to me, and that's when I kind of talked with Brian and, you know, started formulating these ideas of what I had and what I wanted to do. I wanted it to be kind of rough and unplanned. I felt like a lot of the HD I'd seen, which I really liked, I mean, I'm not trying to badmouth anyone that's done these, you know, these great videos with great HD, but it all had this similar look of being very warm and very smooth. And that's, I think, just a byproduct of how great you know, the great kind of like capabilities of these cameras and of how, you know, just how crisp and clean it looks. I think that you naturally kind of want to go like, oh, look at how clean I can get it. Cinema doesn't just say, look at how neat our crane is, or look at how cool this dolly track is. It's more about like, you're trying to achieve a feel and communicate. I might get in trouble for using this word, but communicate an emotion, you know? And skating to me has never been smooth or crisp or clean. It's so, and especially toy machine skating. It's always been really rough and patchwork and jittery and visceral. And so I kind of wanted to keep that vibe with these HD cameras. He has the Red Rock, which gives this sort of grain to it. And it's not exactly film grain. You can see it spinning if you look at certain shots. And there are certain shots where we didn't have it on and we turned it on and you can see it start to spin or start to slow down. And I purposely kept those in just to make it really weird and fucked up because I just liked it. I liked the idea of having stuff fucked up. That's one thing when I got the job at Toy Machine that Ed said is you need to keep it fucked up. In the past, before I started doing the videos, they were always really weird and crazy. And so I wanted to kind of keep that going. And I just felt like no one had really tackled that version of you know, kind of rough and tumble HD, which is really how you shoot skating too. I mean, it's you don't have a lot of time to set up that dolly track or get that crane in over that fence into the schoolyard. You know, you're climbing a fence with a backpack and that's kind of what you got. That's your equipment. And you're a one-man crew or two-man crew at the most. You know, as much as we kind of talked about plans for shots and talked about shots and how to do stuff, really it came down to just going out, let's try this. And we tried it, it either sucked or it didn't suck, and we used it or didn't use it.
What cameras exactly did you use on the SD and HD side?
SD was Sony VX1000 mostly. I really like filming in the daytime, so that's what I use in the daytime. At nighttime, I use mostly the VX2000 or sometimes the 2100. The HD were all Panasonic HVX200 and then with a Red Rock mount and 35mm Nikon primes. And we used a couple of zooms. And then I think there's one shot with the Red Cam, the Red One. We were kind of just experimenting, playing with it. It was fun. It was a ton of fun. But I think the only thing that actually made it in was the last shot of the intro where Matt B does a 360 flip and slams in one frame and makes it in another and rolls out of frame. That's the only thing they ended up using.
Anything else you want to wrap up about the production in general?
It was really, really fun. I can really say that without any kind of horseshit marketing sense about it. It was actually really, really fun, and no one wanted it to end. We did the video, had the premiere, and then went right on a tour, and everyone was ecstatic. They had a blast, and it was almost like, let's keep this going type thing. And not in a way like let's conquer shit, but in like we're having a ball. And I think that's the main thing I really wanted to accomplish with this is have everyone be excited to make a video. You know, cause that, I'm excited. I've always been excited to make the videos and have a great time. And I saw some videos breaking down people, you know, kind of making them not like videos, not like skating. And it was a shame to me. I didn't want to make a video that broke people down for the sake of having a trick or two. I didn't want to make a collection of footage from photo shoots, which is kind of how I saw videos going. It seemed like they were just clips of people's photo shoots that you've already seen the photos of. You can show so much more of people actually skating and pushing and kind of out of control, and like I wanted all that weird sketchiness and stuff you can't see in a magazine. You don't really see anyone push in a magazine, and you don't really see, when you look at someone's ad, it's about selling the shoe, and that's not really what the video is about. The video is really about, at its core, skating. There's no product in skating, in the skate videos. There's just the skating. That's what it's all about. To me, who just sits there and analyzes skate videos all day, you know, it seemed like it was sort of losing that a little bit. And not entirely. I'm not saying there's fucking great videos that have come out, and I think people get that. It's just that for us, I really wanted to focus on that kind of really fun spontaneous part of skating that is hard to capture. And that's why I think that they kind of became that, is I think that it was easy to pull the camera out when the lights were up and the photo was being shot and then put it away when the photographer put it away. And I think that if you're going to be filming skate videos, you should kind of be filming everything.
Yeah, I like that. I like some of that stuff of Leo just like extended running, pushing. And that line that you shoot in the street with him is insane.
Actually, when he got on the team, I had to change filming styles a little bit. Not that I had to, I guess. It's just I really noticed I was missing really cool stuff. I was trying to get a tree in the frame or something, some dumb arty idea I had of what a skate clip should look like, and I realized that he's pushing crazily 18 times up to this massive brontosaurus rail, and like, that's awesome. I wanted to see that. I mean, I was laughing my ass off watching it. I wanted to see that. If you look especially at Leo's part, there's a lot of really, really wide shots. Everything starts kind of really wide and kind of slowly goes into what he's skating, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. He purposely will do stuff so that you miss it, just to fuck with you. So I wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to do something cool and I was going to miss it. It's happened a million times still, but, and I have been blowing through tapes. I mean, I just never hit the red button anymore. I hit it once when it, to start it, and that was it. I just let it go. You know, all that was sort of just with the idea of I wanted to catch those weird moments that that I just stopped seeing in skate videos. I think it's partly a self-conscious part. Everyone wants to kind of like come across as very cool and just have their best stuff, and all that push is weird, but that weird push is kind of what makes it. In editing the video too, and this is something I think I've always kind of gone with, but especially in this video, I became a little more aware of it. And to me, it's 50% technical achievement, and that has to be there. There's a standard of excellence that I understand you have to kind of meet. But there's also this other 50% that's kind of feeling, and like, how does that trick, it could be a simpler trick, or it could have been at a spot that someone one-upped or whatever. But if it feels cool and it looks cool, hell, it should go in. That's awesome. That's part of it. Maybe it's just an ollie or just a kickflip, or, you know, it's skating has gotten to this insane level, and that's great. But I think that it should also retain some of that expression that goes with just skating. When you just see someone ollie up a curb, you can kind of just tell, like, oh, that person's got it like that. Just doing simple stuff, you can, as a skater, you can go, oh, they got it. With this video in particular, I think I really wanted to show those little idiosyncrasies of people skating, of people actually rolling around and moving around their skateboard like they're walking, because that's what it becomes to pro skaters. They skate so much at such gnarly levels that the easy stuff is so easy for them, they don't even think about it, and that's kind of the best part. All that little stuff that's second nature to these guys is really intriguing to someone who's not that good. So I wanted to keep that thought in the back of my head, and I hopefully it comes through.
How did you know Brian?
I met Brian at the Huntington Beach skate park initially. Then he was on Flow for Toy Machine as a rider for a minute, and then he got a job at Tumieto, I think a year later or so, as a graphic designer. He had the camera and was getting super into just HD, you know, cinematography in some way. And so we would talk more and more and talk about where skate videos were going. He's a video nerd too, so just shared that common bond and ended up just, you know, he ended up coming out with us a few times, and then those ideas started flowing, like I said, and it became apparent where skateboard videos were heading and where that kind of format was going, and just got me interested.
What's your name and how'd you get involved in the Brainwash video?
My name is Brian Hansen. I guess it started back in the Huntington Beach skate park days. I was actually going to school at UCI, and I was studying video and graphic design. And I met Kevin and Ed and a lot of the toy dudes. And I ended up, eventually started to get boards from Toy Machine just on a flow basis, and didn't really work out. And I actually wasn't too upset about it. I went to school and I knew that, you know, I had an opportunity to work and have a career. And I actually had a couple friends over at Soltech. Matt Willigan was the art director of S at the time, and he hired me to be a graphic designer over there. So during that time, I was living at my parents' house, and I was making a decent salary, not a ton of money, but I was still, you know, totally interested in video and film at the time. and the HVX 200 was like a new camera, and skateboarders had just started to pick it up, and I was really interested in it, and I had the cash, so I went ahead and bought it. After that, you know, I'd seen a few videos with it, and I started to hear about the 35 millimeter adapters, and I had the option. Either I could buy the fisheye adapter for the camera, which was astronomical, like $3,500, or I could do the other route, which was the this adapter for Red Rock, does Nikon lenses on it, and I just felt like there was so much more to be done with that, rather than just buy a fisheye adapter, just does one thing. This was like, I could do get depth of field, I could have a macro lens on there, I could even adapt a fisheye lens. So I went that route, and I probably spent less money and got about five lenses and just started experimenting. Anyways, I got a job down at Tamietto after I was laid off from Soltech, and you know, I'd already known Kevin, and every time he would come down to the office, I had like something new I was interested in about video and something that I experimented or learned, and just started bouncing ideas off each other. You know, I mentioned that I want to work on something with him, and the Brainwash thing came up, and it was just all kind of organic. Like, he started bringing me out. I already knew some of the writers, so it was easy to work with them. A few of the other writers, I think, were kind of intimidated by the camera, like, what is going on? This is really bizarre. But I don't know, the more I came out, the easier it became.
So what stuff specifically did you shoot with your setup?
I shot just about all the intro, and I also contributed a bonus feature about the Huntington Park, which is right when I got the 35 millimeter adapter and started experimenting and learning how to use it.
What's the hardest part? I mean, it's obviously a much bigger rig than you're used to shooting skating with. So yeah. What goes along with that?
Oh, the setup time is a nightmare. You have to, there's like a list of steps that you have to go through to set it up. And when we're out using it at the beginning, Kevin really just wanted to grab it and like, let's go get this. And I'm like, no, you have to go through the checklist of like 10 different things in order to shoot. So that was kind of a headache. Also, the more you put on the front of a camera, the more light you need to hit the sensor of the camera. So it was like kind of a downer sometimes where we'd be shooting and I'm like, no, it's too dark, can't get the shot or this and that. But overall, I mean, just experimenting with the lenses, we started to get like a flow to it, and we had an idea here or there every time we went out that we wanted to try out.
Do you have a favorite shot that you got that made it in the video?
Yeah, I do. There was a fakie back lip in the intro of Leo, and it worked out perfectly, and I didn't think it would at the time. Like, I think we had a photographer shooting, so obviously I couldn't shoot anything wide. I was forced way back, and I have a 75-150 zoom, and I zoomed it all the way in and just kind of went for it, like kept it super tight, and Leo ended up rolling like right at the camera, and it was one of those lucky mistakes where you're like, wow, that came out awesome.
That was a clincher. We didn't have any Leo clips at the time. Oh. I remember thinking like, we need to get a Leo, and he's so weird about like, this fucking camera. And then the setup time thing is a nightmare. So
yeah, it seemed like he wanted to rush tricks so that I wouldn't get him or whoever.
He's doing it just because with everybody. Like, yeah, he loves it. He's not just like stirring the pot like that.
But, yeah, we ended up getting some great clips. There's another one, the Nolly front heel he does on the double set, that it'll be in this little bonus clip that I really like too. It's another one. I was just shooting straight on a double set, which is like, I guess, something you wouldn't do with a, you know, your VX and your death lens or whatever you want, and he just landed the trick, came right at the camera. It's just one of those cool moments where you really see what was going on without even seeing the spot, you know, the way a skateboarder would want to look at it.
Are you guys planning on working on another video together?
I hope so, yeah. I've been talking to them and telling them that I'm super psyched to work on it. I mean, I have a full-time job, but I still just come out on the weekends. And like he said, even shooting this stuff, like, it was just fun. I just enjoyed coming out and shooting, and there was a couple times where we didn't even get a good shot, but it was still like, oh, it was cool, just hanging out and experimenting and learning new things. I'm super camera nerd. I read all the forums and follow all the tech blogs, and it was actually awesome that we got to shoot the Red, because the whole time, you know, when we were shooting on my camera, I was telling Kevin, like, oh, there's this Red one, and you can do all these great things, and we got to use it, and I was kind of let down. It wasn't like as great as I'd hoped it to be. It's just the form factor of the camera for me was just like unworkable. Like I shot handheld a few things, and the, you know, Billy Marks was trying to line, and he wasn't even close to getting it. By the time I'm like winded from shooting, and I'm like, I can't get a shot. But now they have a next generation of cameras that are coming out that the form factor's there, the price is gonna be there, and it's gonna be really exciting, I think. I mean, you don't have to be rich to have the highest quality of camera, and skateboarders are gonna need that. That being said, I mean, it's hard to say if skateboarders are gonna adopt that or continue shooting the VX1000. I mean, especially with the whole internet craze of videos, do we really need the highest quality of stuff? Like, if you're only shooting for a 320 by 240 square on a website, like, does it matter if I have a Red Scarlet or a VX1000? I mean, not really, I guess.
I think that the argument is interesting because skateboarding tends to be more vertically oriented. So when you have a 4x3
right.
image, it actually sort of captures more. You can be tighter. Mm-hmm. You can get more, you know, that's the one thing I've noticed about shooting HD is like your shots have to be so much wider to get
right.
the vertical height in them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what kind of freaks people out about it.
I can definitely see that, yeah. I mean, I've never been scared of like screwing up a shot or cropping someone's head out, or I mean, I guess that's what I don't really like about making skateboard videos. I mean, just the rules, quote unquote, like you have to shoot on this camera, you know, you have to have the death lens, you have to shoot a certain way, I don't know. And I think that's why Kevin and I mesh so well. Like, we both were interested in doing something new and unique and not ascribing to any rules, just reforming it and trying to do something new.